We were created with a purpose, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God already has given us all the purpose. So for us to say that I don't know what my purpose is, only because we haven't asked. Ask the Lord to reveal it to you. And I encourage you, because you will have a much more fulfilled life. Not only will it be more fulfilled here, but it also will prepare you for life up there. Good morning, church. As we have just witnessed, we see that today, standard regular science is taught as fact. But realistically, as we noticed, is it based on anything? We see that it's not. The title of my message this morning is, Do You Know Who You Are? Do you know who you are? Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for just the opportunity of being here today. We thank you for truth. We thank you for life. We thank you for your sacrifice. We pray, Lord, that you will send your Holy Spirit to be with us today. Fill us up this day and help that we may be blessed. These things we ask in your holy name. Amen. See, I showed that video as kind of a prelude to what I want to talk about today. See, we're undergoing a crisis. And one of the major crises that we're dealing with today is one of identity. It's interesting that we have little boys that want to be girls. We have little girls that want to be boys. We have black that want to be white. We have white that want to be black. It's interesting to me, I was looking at how much money is spent in cosmetic surgery. It's interesting to me that you have blacks who are bleaching their skin, straightening their hair, wearing colored contact lenses to look like the other. You have whites that are getting lip implants and butt implants and extensions and because they want to look like us. But it's amazing how they want to look like us, but they don't even like us. Confused. Who are we? Do you know who you are? Well, the reason why I showed that particular video was because, contrary to popular dogma that's being taught today, the impossible is not made possible just over a long period of time. See, that bench was made to be a bench, and it serves the purpose of a bench. Now, I can keep that bench for 50 years. It ain't gonna change. I could keep it for 150 years. It ain't gonna change. It was built for a purpose, and that's where it'll stay. So what's interesting to me is, we wonder, not when I ask the question, do you know who you are? I ask this question because the world is so confused, and the reason why the world is so confused, and I showed that video as perspective, is because we plan for everything. It starts with a plan. We plan for it. You plan to go to school. You plan to go to work. You plan to, even when you buy a car, they give you an owner's manual. Who made it? What is all the specs on the car? Somebody built that thing. You know, it's just interesting. Even you buying a toy as a kid, you have instructions on how to play with it. There's always that give and take. Everything in life started with a plan. But yet, our children are taught that we just popped up out of nowhere. See, you wonder why there's such an issue of identity. The theory of evolution proposes that immense changes occurred over eons of time. There was an experiment done at the Argonne Lab, which is a physics lab out in California, and they had the supercomputer, and they developed this concept. Okay, what is the probability of being able to come up with all 26 letters of the alphabet from A to Z by putting it in a supercomputer to see if we can do that? What they did, after 15 million tries, only 14 letters, and that only happened once. They were able to maintain, they were able to replicate. So my point is, the impossible can't make possible just because it's been given over a long period of time. Now, another thing is, a car was at one time a sketch on a draft, derived from someone's imagination. I'm sure we have engineers in here. See, it all starts with a plan. Sophisticated lies, I call it. We are bombarded with the premise that life began by accident. See, how can I have a sense of self-worth if I don't even know my origin? That's the issue. Survival of the fittest, they say. But no real answers are given to our point of origin. They just tell our children, this is the way it is. But they never follow it up. Well, how did you get here? That's not important. This is the science that we want to teach. And we see the reasons for that. It's just time, time, and more time. A bunch of hypotheses and a bunch of hypotheticals. See, the problem is man glorifies in his wisdom. You know, we come to church and we study the Bible. And we know who that point of origin is. But for the world, they choose to believe in lies. And they glorify. And another thing that's interesting is the one who even proposed all of this, Sir Darwin himself said, to suppose that the eye, with all of its immutable contrivances, for adjusting to the focus of different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, for the correction of spherical or chromatic observations, could have been formed by natural selection, seems, I confess, absurd in the highest degree. Now, this is Darwin who stated this. What they discovered is that as they got more complex, as they looked at the biochemistry, as they got smaller and smaller and smaller, they began to recognize that this is going nowhere for us. This is all a bunch of garbage. We have no recourse in any of this. But yet, our children are taught this as fact. But God is not impressed with our wisdom. God is not impressed with man's attempt to uncover him. 1 Corinthians 1:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. And we see that with the Bible is clear. The master planner, just like a car has an owner, the car has an architect. The car was a sketch that became a plan. We see that the Lord says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts by the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Bible also says in Psalms 104:5, he laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. So for a Christian, people always say, it takes an awful lot of faith to believe in the Bible. It's like, no. It takes an awful lot of faith to believe in evolution. Why? Because the Bible is very clear. God created this thing. God is our author. God is the originator of it all. But for evolution, they have no recourse. They have no idea where it all began. They just point to a point that there was a big bang. When? Who was there? Who can confirm it? Who can corroborate it? Were there any witnesses? No, not at all. So we see that a plan comes together. See, I used to watch the A-Team, and Hannibal Smith, he's always, I love it when a plan comes together. I'm dating myself. But the creation says the Father and the Son engaged in the mighty, wondrous work they had contemplated by creating the world. The earth came forth from the hand of the Creator exceedingly beautiful. Now, this is interesting to me because Sister White didn't say that they just woke up one morning and they decided, boom, let's just create something. She says they contemplated, meaning there was strategy. They're always talking about how unscientific religion is. But yet, the Godhead is saying right here that there was strategy. They put together a plan. And then after that plan, there was execution of tasks of that plan. Man was to bear God's image, both in outward resemblance and in character. Christ alone is the express image of the Father. But man was formed in the likeness of God. His nature was in harmony with the will of God. His mind was capable of comprehending divine things. His affections were pure. His appetites and passions were under the control of reason. He was holy and happy in the bearing the image of God in a perfect obedience will. So we see now the execution of this plan. We see he came up with the concept, now he's executing it. We see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now look at this. Again, young people, when they talk about you believe in a religion, it has no basis in science. Think about Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. Now, I spent 10 years of my life in cardiac surgery. Bill Becton, we even worked together from time to time, and he used to put patients to sleep. The Bible was the first archaic book that were to demonstrate to you surgery, a surgical procedure. That's right. And then God said, I'm going to put on my anesthesia hat. I'm going to put him to sleep first. And he said, and he slept. And then he says, okay, I'm so bad that not only am I going to be the anesthesiologist, now put it on autopilot, now I'm surgeon, scalpel. That's what he did. Then he said, and he took one rib and closed up the flesh. He sewed that bad boy up. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made it into a woman and brought her to man. So we see Genesis 1:27 was the thesis statement of all of this work. So God created man in his image. In the image God created him. Male and female, he created them. So he created, we were different. We're not the same. I'm going to be going there in a minute. Genesis 5:2 says, he created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. God created us different, but complete. See, I'm saying this to say that Satan has undergone a very stealth attack now. Satan has concerted an effort to disrupt and cloud the very image of God in us. Gender neutrality is nothing more than a not-so-stealthy attack towards our Creator. Let me tell you something. There is a difference between a man and a woman. Don't let them fool you. There are clear differences. You don't think so? I remember, I love football. And, we all just watched the Super Bowl. And I remember when I was young girl, my dad once took me to a Lions practice. This is during their training camp. And what amazed us was how big those guys are. I mean, you don't get a sense of how big they are when you're watching them on TV. But there's these big, huge, massive men running around. And I'm thinking, how can they do that? But what's interesting to this is that you always hear men make comments of, I'm tough. I'm a grinder. I fight through pain. We good at that. But I'll tell you what, I conducted this experiment. You take a baby and you put it in a man and you tell that man to deliver that bad boy. I can promise you that after the first contraction, brother man is done. Get it out of me. We and our women deal with this at every childbirth, the miracles of birth, but yet they are back and in that mothered mode. But yet there's no way. I'll be in a fetal position. I could barely even watch my, I witnessed three of my daughters being born. I was right there with her. And I'll be honest with you, when those contractions hit, it hit her, and it kind of went, it hit me too. Oh Lord, we gotta do something about this. Let me tell you something, we're different. I can't carry no baby, nor do I want to. But praise the Lord has created someone that's capable of doing it. God made us in his image, a carefully developed plan. For us to be effective witnesses in this world, we must have a clear understanding who we are and what we're all about. So why is identity so important? Well, we were created with a purpose. If we don't know who we are, we may never realize our purpose. And that's the whole point of all of this. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has called us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So our purpose was established before we were born. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctify you. I ordain you a prophet to the nations. Ephesians 1:4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, we must realize our purpose by seeking Christ's direction. See, a lot of people, there's people here today. I'm sure there's somebody here today at the sound of my voice that has no idea what their purpose is here. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Well, what's interesting is people say, well, should I know what my purpose is? Not necessarily. All of us probably have no clue as to what our purpose is unless we seek Christ, unless the Lord has revealed that to us. Why? Because, first of all, our purpose is not of our own origination. God has already stated that I have sanctified you. I have given you a purpose even before you were born. So for you not to understand what your purpose is, there's no fault in that. You don't know. It wasn't yours. God has already given you one. The only thing is we need to align ourselves with him so we will know what that purpose is. But be sure of resistance. See, the devil doesn't know our purpose, but he sees our potential. And that's what we need to understand. So many of us, again, I go back to my sports moniker. You know, we say the most effective play or way of disrupting a very explosive offense is to disrupt it before he gets started. If a good running back is coming out of the backfield, trip him up. Go low on him and trip him up. Don't let him get momentum, because once he gets going, now he becomes a problem. That's what the devil tries to do with our young people. He wants to kind of dissuade them. He will try to undermine our plans. See, the devil realizes that when God has opened up a door for you, there's nothing he can do about it. He sees your potential. He sees it like, he sees what you're capable of. That's why Sister White talks about how when every baby that's born, the devil is standing over their little crib. There you go. That hasn't been that long. The devil is standing over there looking, trying to observe your character. Are you going to be like Uncle So-and-so? Are you going to be like Auntie So-and-so? Who are you going to be like? So he can devise a plan. Again, even the devil devises a plan. And for us to think that there's no plans going on, that's fallacy. But be sure, he cannot prevent our blessing. Here's the interesting thing. The only thing that stops us is us. You know, I always told somebody, who you think is the biggest impediment in your life? Oh, it's this person, that person. My mama was a drunk, and my daddy was blah, 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 blah. He's in jail, and all, you know, it's everybody's fault. No, you go upstairs, go in your room, close the door, walk up to the mirror, and that is your biggest impediment right there. See, purpose needs to be real. It's not realized. We waste our talents because we do not recognize our purpose. Satan distracts us to pursue goals of selfish ambition. There's a lot of people that are working, but are not fulfilling their purpose. There are a lot of people. You ever heard the saying that if you align your purpose or your gifts with your work, that you'll never work a day in your life? You ever heard that saying before? The thing about it is Satan distracts us to pursue things selfishly. There are a lot of doctors. That ain't their purpose. They're okay doctors because it aligns with some gifts, but the Lord may have a special calling for you. We spend so much time about us. See, the problem with the church is the church has separated personal ambition with spiritual pursuits. See, that's the difference. We live life in silos. We forget that God is the originator of it all, and we don't include him in these lifetime plans, life goals, and so forth. Lord, what is your goal for me? Because the purpose, yes, the Lord says to tarry till he comes, but ultimately we have a higher calling than just to be a doctor, the lawyer, a dentist, a teacher, a police officer. We have a more extensive calling than that, and I'll discuss that in a minute. Learning, talents, eloquence, every natural acquired endowment may be possessed, but without the presence of the Spirit of God, no heart will be touched, no sinner be won to Christ. On the other hand, if they are connected with Christ, and if the gifts of the Spirit are theirs, the poorest and the most ignorant of his disciples will have a power that will tell upon hearts. God makes them the channel of outworking of the highest influence in the universe. Sometimes you don't even know why you are where you are, but there's a purpose there. Sometimes the Lord has equipped you with certain skills so that you could be a witness to somebody, that you could be a conduit to somebody for his cause. That's what it's all about. Nothing is just about us, for just a clear understanding of that. Uh-oh. Okay, there we go. So we have to understand that God opens up doors for us. Isaiah 22:22 says, "Then I shall set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open." And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm talking to the young people as well, everybody now. When you have prayed and asked the Lord to reveal your purpose, and the Lord has directed your steps, there is nothing anybody can do about it. And that's what we have to understand. See, the devil's good at whispering in our ear, "You can't do that." See, the devil's trying to get us to undermine God's blessings. "You can't do that." You know, he puts doubt in our minds. He puts fear in our minds. He paralyzes to even try. But the fact of the matter is, if you go on a job interview and the Lord has made it clear that that's your job, there's no competition. We have to live life like that. We have to understand that it's not about people. It's about Christ, him directing our lives. God is in control. God opens up doors no man can close. Trust in Christ in this crazy world. This world's nuts. I keep saying that. It's crazy. But even in this crazy world, the Lord blesses you. He will open up doors. He will have people looking at you trying to figure out, how does this happen? How are you so blessed? God wants us to excel. The Lord desires his people to reach the highest round of the ladder, that they may glorify him by possessing the ability he is willingly to bestow. Through the grace of God, every provision has been made for us to reveal that we act upon better plans than those upon which the world acts. We are to show a superiority in intellect, that's smart, and understanding, and skill, knowledge because we believe in God and in his power to work upon human hearts. There's been many situations where you have gotten certain. I remember, as far as anointing on your life, I remember, this is a brief testimony. I remember when I first went to Johns Hopkins, I was so intimidated because I've heard so much about the school. And when I got there, it's like everybody had a certain kind of funny attitude. And I'm thinking, man, these people, you know, I'm not going to go there. But it was just that there was a lot of arrogance and self-sufficiency there. I'll put it that way. And what I found interesting is when I was working on my thesis, I remember that I was doing my research and I was going back and forth into my mentor's office. And he had a couple of secretaries there, and I would go back and forth, and he had to punch in the code, and he was never in the office. So I would go in there and work on my paper and everything. I remember one day, his secretary pulled me aside. It's like, come here. I was like, what? Did I do something wrong? No. I just want you to know this. I've been here for 8 years, and I've been watching medical students and fellows and residents and all these people coming and going. Do you know that you are the only one that Dr. Ulatowski allowed in his office without his permission and without him being present? No one was allowed in there. She saw something unique, something different. Many times we get so focused on us. No. God's in control of this thing. He will bless you. He will anoint you. If you align your will with his will, you'll be amazed how you'll arise in this world. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples of his goodness and his anointing. One, we see Joseph, which is found in Genesis chapter 37 through 50. In Genesis chapter 30, 22 says, "Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, 'God has taken away my reproach.' So she called his name Joseph and said, 'The Lord shall add another son. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, his first son through his favorite wife, Rachel. Joseph's story began with a dream at the age of 17. He knew that the dreams he was having were from the Lord and that they revealed God's purpose and plans in his life. Now I'm going to stop here for a second. Many of us say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, true enough that God may not reveal our purpose in a dream. But the reality is that we ask God, what is my purpose? He will reveal it to us. God may not speak to us through a dream, but if you will become determined to know his plan for your life, he will definitely reveal it. So here's some examples. Not only will the pursuit of your vision bring fulfillment, it will keep you on track. Joseph's vision kept him on track during very difficult times when he faced great temptations. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. The thing about it is when you know clearly your purpose, you're able to withstand all types of weird circumstances. There's things that's going to happen in your life. But when you know the end goal and you know that God gave it to you, then everything else is irrelevant. God's word declares that Joseph was a prosperous man. This was at a time in his life when he was serving as a slave. His own brothers had sold him into slavery and told his father he was dead. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. See, so many times we look at people of wealth, of means, and they are so conceited as to look what I have done. Look what I've done. It was because of my capabilities and how I got here. No. The Lord reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And just because you have done this, you think on your own, it was still a blessing. Now, you may not acknowledge him, and you may not ever come to even acknowledge that point. But the fact of the matter is, God still blesses, regardless of whether you declare him or not. And people need to understand that. And unfortunately, sometimes this may be the only heaven you will ever see. So you need to be careful with that as well. Joseph lived, and this is very important, a God-dependent life, and he lived in the midst of great adversity. He knew his future rested in the hands of the Lord. For a promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. See, when we reach a point in our lives where we separate these silos, we have to fuse ourselves with him and his will in our lives. And I think that we'll have a more fulfilled life. Now, this is really important. Joseph maintained his integrity. be. Recognizing the favor and presence of God in his life, Joseph's master soon appointed him manager over his entire house. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a godly man and a well-favored. Always maintain a spirit of integrity. Because many times the Lord will bless us and he will anoint us. But if we live and we demonstrate and we live a humble life and a life of integrity, he will continue to bless us. Falsely accused and convicted, yet the hand of God's providence commenced. Now, promotion had truly come from God. Immediately, Joseph found himself promoted to a position of power, second only to Pharaoh. It's important to understand that Joseph had either been serving as a slave or was in prison for 17 years after the time that his purpose was revealed and before it was fulfilled. It's so tempting, and this is very important for all of us, it's so tempting to become weary or impatient and abandon the vision for an easier way, but don't do it. And you'll reap. Galatians 6:9 says, and always remember this, that when you're dealing with stuff and when you're going through stuff and you seem like everything you try just seems to blow up in your face. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hang in there. Things are going to happen. And now this is what's interesting. We see a great example of this. We know that hardship brings about, kind of toughens us up a little bit and works on our character. But I dare to say that prosperity and success can test our character even more sometimes. How many times have you heard when they talk about people who won the lottery? Within 5 years, what happened with some of those folks? They broke. How many times have we seen rappers and musicians that have gone through millions of dollars in their careers, only to be broke at the end of it? When the checks stop coming, they'll have nothing left. And you wonder, what happened? Because, again, they didn't recognize with whom the blessings had been given to them. See, when you live outside of Christ, you have no perspective, and you think that everything is always going to keep coming, but there's going to be an end point. The story of Joseph is a good example that just because we do what is right, it does not mean that immediately we will be praised for it. However, in the end, he was honored by God and justified in the sight of men for taking a stand to do right, even when it was not easy nor pleasurable. So remember this, that Joseph's story reveals that even though we cannot control circumstances, we can definitely control how we respond to those circumstances. And then finally, I want to talk about Daniel. And this is more of a summary. Daniel was born at 621 BC. Daniel was carried away at Babylon at the age of 16. We see that he was 82 years old at the time of Babylon's fall to the Persians. Daniel's parents are not listed, but the Bible implies that he came from a royal and noble family. When Daniel came to Babylon, he became a chief minister at Nebuchadnezzar's royal court. He became known as a man who could interpret dreams and visions. The book of Daniel was written to offer encouragement to the Jewish exiles by revealing God's sovereign will for Israel after the period of Gentile domination. So Daniel's life is characterized by one of faith, prayer, courage, consistency, and a lack of compromise. You know, when we realize this in Matthew 19:26, that with God, all things are possible, it will help us when we are met with all types of adversity. See, it's not going to be easy. One of the reasons why it's so difficult is because the devil doesn't want you to succeed. He wants you to screw up. He wants you to abandon your purpose. He wants you to not even realize your purpose. Because he knows that once you realize what's going on, you're unstoppable. So this is a message to young people, says that the great work that which Jesus announced that he came to do was to entrust it to his followers upon earth. Christ as our head leads out in the great work of salvation, the business to follow his example. He has given us a worldwide message. This truth must be extended to all nations, tongues, people. Satan's power was to be contested, and he was to be overcome by Christ and also by his followers. An extensive war was to be maintained against the powers of darkness. And in order to do this, work successfully means are required. God does not propose to send means directly from heaven, but he gives unto the hands of his followers talents of means to use for the very purpose of sustaining this warfare. You know, it's really unfortunate because when we watch television, one of the things we always talk about, you see all the adversities that we're dealing with as a people. And it's good to see certain individuals step up to help our people. For example, especially when you talk about this on Black History Month, I think about the school that LeBron James started up. And I think about some the monies that's given to reach back and to help our young people realize their dreams. But how many more are not? You have 12 cars and a 12-room mansion, and what are you doing with it? You're just sitting there wallowing in your own wealth when you got people that's soup kitchens that are running out of food. You have after-school programs that need funding. What you're just sitting back, blowing smoke. Some of these guys they'd be on social media lighting weed with dollar bills and $100 bills and $20 bills. Waste, because they don't know who they are, and unfortunately, this world becomes their heaven, and they don't even realize it. So we need to understand, what is the true meaning of life? What is really the true meaning of life? Well, Sister White kind of gives a clue as to why we were created. God created man for his own glory, that after test and trial, the human family might become one with the heavenly family. It was God's purpose to repopulate heaven with the human family. The vacancies made in heaven by the fall of Satan and his angels will be filled by the redeemed of the Lord. See, even as simple as that, the devil don't want you going up there, because he was up there and he got kicked out. He lost. He knows what he's missing. He's been there. He was on the right hand of the Father. He was in the light of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was there. He was the light bearer. But he knows that if we go up there, not only will our blood will be on his head, but also we go take over. God says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. Why? He's preparing something for us. He's preparing he's preparing to help us to repopulate heaven. Where the angels were kicked out, we're going to now fill in. That is one of the reasons why we were created. Have faith. God will take something that seems like a loss and miraculously use it to bless you. It only seems like you're losing. It only seems like you can't break out of this downward draft of loss. Have faith. God has a plan. So, in conclusion, we need to understand that we need to remember that we are God's special creation. See, people have a loss of identity because they don't realize who they are. You don't realize that you have a daddy that you could call on in any situation you deal with. You have a father that will open up your eyes, that will give you wisdom beyond imagination. I remember my wife's stepfather. I remember this guy had an eighth grade education. And you say, well, what does he know? This man, all he read was his Bible. This man was probably one of the wisest men that I've ever met. Because the Bible has power. The Bible, if you, young people, if you want to get smarter, study the word. Wrestle with it. Go precept by precept. What does this mean? What does that mean? Holy Spirit revealed to me. I can promise you, you will sin well beyond your peers around you. They'll be wondering, how did you get so smart? It says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Remember, Adam was taught directly from the hand of Christ. Adam was taught. He named all the animals. That shows you how smart he was. We were created with a purpose, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God already has given us all the purpose. So for us to say that I don't know what my purpose is, only because we haven't asked. Ask the Lord to reveal it to you. And I encourage you, because you will have a much more fulfilled life. Not only will it be more fulfilled here, but it also will prepare you for life up there. And then finally, we must fulfill our calling and be about making disciples. See, this is kind of where the money hits the road, where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. Because we need to understand that we're just not, again, doctors, lawyers, teachers. And we're just not living life with vocations. The world will tell you this is what it's all about. You go to see many of those motivational speakers, and they'll talk about how the power's within you and overcome. And yeah, that's true. But the power's in you were put there by Christ. The Holy Spirit is in everyone. He's influencing everyone. And the thing about it is, we need to understand that we are, it's more than just being, having a vocation, that we have to be about the Father's business. Do we really witness to our workers? When we're on our jobs, regardless of where our vocation leads us, are we witnessing to those around us? Are we witnessing to our neighbors? Are we witnessing to our family? Are we witnessing to our workers? Are we witnessing to our fellow students? What are we doing to further his cause? That's what this thing is all about. So I encourage you, as I ask the question, do you know who you are and what are you all about? We know that we're all Christians, that we're all made in the image of the creator of the universe. The devil has launched a major campaign to undermine God's image in us. The devil is trying his best to shake that thing up and muck it all up. The world is so confused. My daughter was applying for a college application, and she said, "Dad, look at this. You know, they wanted her to identify her sex. It was like 8 categories." I'm like, "Wait a minute, huh? I forgot all this name. What were some of those names to me? They had like, you know, okay, there was a male, and then there was a female, then it goes to, what's that? Yeah, that's where I was, transgender, and then transgender and this, and I'm like, who are these people?" The fact of the matter is that the bottom line is that there is a stealthy attempt to confuse our young people, and identity is one of them. God has clearly told us who we are. And if you have any questions about, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, I have questions." Ask the Lord about it. He's the one that can clarify to you who you are. You don't need to have some man telling you. He don't know. God is the one that put that purpose in your heart before you were even born. So he's the one that I would see. So I encourage you all today that remember that as we go through life, remember that this is not a his or her or if or situation. That we can't live life in a silo. We need to understand that for us to move step by step in this world, in the devil's domain, we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit every day. Otherwise, he's going to knock us off track, and then we go get caught up in like everybody else. There's a whole lot of folks that are confused out there. You got people that's trying to be vampires. You got people that you know, they dressing up like comic book characters, and you know, this guy run around like an anime character, and now how you gonna go to a job dressed up like Astro Boy? I mean, come on. The reality is that there's a lot of confusion out there. But if you don't study the word, and the reason why I showed the whole thing on evolution is because that is the start of it all. The devil gets us young, and it puts all this garbage in our head. So when the truth comes, now we're trying to weigh this thing. Okay, he says that I came from an ape. But you said I was created by God the Father. Wait a minute. What's the dichotomy here? Well, think about it. You know, why is that ape still there if you came from me? If you evolved from the ape, why is there still an ape? Why do you still catch a cold? If you came from a single cell organism, why am I still getting sick? Think about these things. But the devil's trying his hardest, and he has his world deluded. But I just wanted to encourage you today. I want to be brief. That we know who we are. There's no reason for us to try to stumble in darkness as to who we are. We're made in God's image. There's men and there's women. Praise the Lord for the women, for a man. And as a man, I'm telling you that. So I just ask that you continue to pray for me, that you continue to pray for purpose in your life, and God will reveal it. Thank you so much. Amen.